Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you tonight. And let's see, I have to say also, it's good to be with you in Florida again tonight because this starts another year. We completed 1 year in Florida. We praise the Lord that another year has been made available. Last year in April, we had money provided to get us back on the air in Florida. We had been in Florida a few years before there on Faith Talk Tampa, and it was nice to be there, and it just seemed to mesh with our station up here in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm located, Northeast Ohio. Get a lot of people from Northeastern Ohio down in the Tampa Bay area, obviously, so we just thought it was a nice fit. And we were praying that we would be able to get back on in Tampa one day. And last year, we had some funds made available to us that paid for an entire year on Faith Talk Tampa up front, which was great. And we were able to do that. And we were hoping and praying that funding for a second year would become available. And in April 2nd, the funding became available once more. And so we were able to pay up front for another year on Faith Talk Tampa. So if you're listening to us in Tampa, Florida, if you're listening on Faith Talk Tampa, whether you're in Tampa or not, you might be listening online to their programs online. If you're listening to Faith Talk Tampa, we're glad to be with you for another year, and we're just thanking God for that. We'd love to hear from our folks down there, and it's kind of nice, you know, when you have it paid for. I don't have to come on and beg for money or anything to stay on the air. It's kind of nice there. And of course, we continue on here at our home station, WHKW, AM 1220, The Word out of Cleveland, Ohio, and The Word here in Cleveland and Faith Talk Tampa are all in the Salem family of stations, so that kind of makes it work out nicely, and using the same systems, all that, so it seems to be helpful with bringing the program there. But we're certainly glad to be there. If you're listening to us in Tampa, we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, our other callers, we have some regular callers that call in and other people from time to time, and that toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And when you go there, you can read a variety of articles that I have on a number of things there. You can listen to past programs there at livewithpastoral.com, and you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, and you can find out more about us there, and we'd love to have you check us out at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get into some things here tonight. We were talking with Terry, for those of you who were listening in the last hour, and talking about some questions that Jehovah's Witnesses have posed, and we were talking about some things dealing with the Trinity of the idea of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not three separate gods, but one God manifest in three persons, and talking about how when God created Adam in Genesis chapter 2, he created Adam as he said he would in chapter 1, in his image. And so the creation of Adam reflects and pictures what God is like. And so Adam was made a three-part being, a body a soul, and a spirit. God took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam. And that, of course, is analogous to God the Son, because it's God the Son that appears in physical form on the earth. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, the theophanies, as they call them. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we see in the Gospels, Jesus came down from heaven, born of a woman, born of Mary. And he took on human flesh and dwelt among us. And so we see God the Son manifesting in a physical presence. And then, of course, Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, another part of the Godhead. And then, of course, Adam as a body that represents the picture of of Christ, or God the Son, says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And breath is like spirit. That's the same word, actually. And so we see the spirit of Adam, the living spirit of Adam, which, of course, pictures the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, he became a living soul, and the soul is where your intellect, your will, your emotion lie, and that is the third part of Adam that we see created. He became a living soul, and so if the body pictures the Son and the Spirit pictures the Spirit, then obviously the soul pictures the Father. And so Adam is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. He's not three Adams, three separate Adams. He's one Adam, but he consists of body, soul, and spirit, just like God is not three gods. He's one God manifest in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, well, get you caught up to what we were talking about there, a little overview on that. And we've got Terry who's holding. We've got another caller who's waiting patiently as well. Terry, you had another part that you were going to ask about this, your encounter with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, one thing I did share with them, though, was like, I didn't understand Trinity until I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I give up. You know, I used to go around telling people that about the Trinity. So I used to be in the Oneness Pentecostal circle.
Right, right.
And the Oneness Pentecostals don't believe in Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of confused about that. And finally, I just said to the Lord, I said, I give up. I put my hands up in the air, and one night I said, Lord, I give up. I'm outnumbered. Most people believe in the Trinity. I don't understand this Trinity business, but I believe it. And when I started believing in the Trinity, then the Lord shared with me what it's about, what the Trinity is all about.
Yeah, and you're mentioning that. I just was going to mention that people go to my website, livewithpastoral.com, and scroll down there, you'll find a thing that I wrote on the Trinity. And I was going to point out, you know, a lot of people get confused over this issue. It's no wonder the Jehovah's Witnesses get confused when God's people get confused. And I used to pray about this too, trying to figure it out, because you'd hear one person say one thing and people would say, well, you know, it's like water. You know, water consists of solid ice, liquid water, and steam, and three things. Or it's like a man can be a father, a son, and a husband, all the, you know, but it's the same person. I used to think all these analogies are great, but wouldn't it be nice if you can have a biblical example, a biblical analogy? And that's where I read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then I read in Genesis the very next chapter, chapter 2, and read there in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, right there it is, body, soul, and spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God's a triune being, and man is a triune being. In the image of God, we picture God's being. We're not little gods, like some people said. If you've heard somebody try to say that, well, that comes from Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent, which is the devil, Lucifer, Satan in disguise, said to Eve, that ye shall be as gods, meaning you can be a little god yourself. That's not the case. We're a picture of the God that we were created in the image of. And when you understand that, a lot of other things in the Bible make sense. Everything from the problems with homosexuality and transgenderism, problem with abortion, the problem with murder, and why capital punishment was endorsed by God in Genesis chapter 9. All these things begin to make sense when you realize we're created in the image of God, and the devil hates God. He can't attack God directly, so what does he go after? The image of God, doesn't he? So
yeah, and you know, they appreciated the fact that I talked to them. I didn't talk down to them. Like, I talked to them with gentleness, and they even said that.
Yeah,
that we really appreciate
well,
the
good,
way you
good.
Talk to us, eh?
Yeah, well, the Bible talks about. I was going to say the Bible talks about preaching the truth in love. You know, having right. compassion, with reaching people.
I don't get angry. I don't try not to get angry with them. I just or frustrated with them because that's when you get a little upset.
Yeah, and you encountered them in a different place rather than at your door, and that can make a difference too sometimes, because when they come to your door, they're on a mission, and their mission is to try and do enough to get themselves into paradise, and yeah, so a lot of times they're really not paying attention to what you're saying.
No, they don't care.
Yeah.
They only care what they believe, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I did share one thing to him. I said, I don't mean to be dogmatic. Maybe mm-hmm. in a sense I was being dogmatic. A little bit of a white lie in a sense, but I told him that I said to him, I said that your Jesus is not my Jesus. That's the big difference between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last thing that I said to him before I left him.
Yeah. Well, and they need to understand that, because their Jesus is Michael the Archangel, a created being, not God in the flesh.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
You know what these two guys' names were? This is funny.
Huh.
Both their names were Gabriel.
That's pretty good, considering Gabriel's one of the messenger angels that's given to us in the Bible, delivering God's message. So
I just thought that was funny. They're not affiliated with one another, but their names were Gabriel.
Yeah.
That is
pretty good, yes.
we have a Gabriel in our church. His name is Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Church I go to.
Yeah.
So,
I appreciate that information there, Terry, and we're going to get to our next caller here. But, you know, we have to be a witness, don't we? And we can't be a witness effectively if we don't know what we believe and why we believe it, right?
Right, and that's why I study. I study every day to show myself approved.
Amen. That's what everybody needs to do.
Light in the word of truth.
Yeah, get it. Get
to know.
I was going to say, get a King James Bible and start studying it. Learn it. Memorize it. Understand it.
The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes. It'll pierce and work its way into areas that you can't get to on your own. So that's why the Bible also says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So,
can I mention something quickly?
Yes, sir.
You can talk about it on your own on this, but, you know, did they change the Constitution, the America? Because the Canadian Constitution, we have 101 pages, and you guys have 4 pages of the Constitution. I read your Constitution not too long ago.
Well, it depends on what format you find it in, as to how many pages it have. If you get the little vest pocket sized, or, you know, shirt pocket sized ones, the one that I got actually right here has counting the Declaration of Independence and all the amendments. It has about 46 pages, but it'll fit in your shirt pocket. So it's about the size of a pocket calendar.
And according to the Constitution, there's one male and one female. Your Constitution says that. And I'm sure that our Constitution says the same thing. The marriage of one male and one female, not one male and one male, one female, one female.
Yeah, we got some things in the amendments and different things that recognize men and women, only two genders, men and women, male and female. Right. And that's because that's in line with what science and biology and common sense tells us. Only two genders,
so might,
male and female.
So they might as well just get rid of the Constitution, like to change it all.
Well, you know, I tell people, you can have the best brakes in the world on your car, but if you never step on them, they don't do you any good at all if you don't use them.
No.
And that's what we're doing with our Constitution here in America. We got a great Constitution, but it's just not being applied. the way it ought to be. Hey, Terry, I want to thank you for your call tonight. I know we'll be talking to you again in the future, but we got to get Nancy on here. She's been waiting patiently as well. So thanks again, Terry. God bless. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight. Sorry to keep you waiting so long here tonight. We just had a lot going on.
Oh, that's okay. You know I'm a night owl.
Well, that's one of the reasons I went with Terry first, because he might have to get up in the morning early to go to work.
I won't tell you what time I get up in the morning.
I tell people I go to bed early in the morning and I get up early in the morning, and then I try to take a nap again. But I probably, when I get home, I don't expect to be to bed before 2:30. Tonight, and then I already know I got to get up about 6:30 or something like, or 7 o'clock in the morning. I got to be up by 7, and after that I'll get a nap a little later on. But I'm a night owl too. That's why we do late night live with Pastor Al rather than early morning live with Pastor Al. If I had to get up
I would not even be on. I wouldn't be calling you up if it was early.
No, I can remember as a missionary on deputation many years ago in the early 1990s, late 80s, early 1990s time frame. I remember distinctly going to a church in Indiana, and of course my wife was from Northern Kentucky, so we were in Indianapolis area or somewhere out in that area, and the pastor said, "Well, after the service, do you want to just stay here? We'll put you up for the night, and you can get some sleep, and you can get up in the morning, and you can get an early start, and you'll be rested and refreshed and ready for an early start rather than leave after the service and try and drive back." I think we were going from Indianapolis to the Cincinnati, Ohio area, Northern Kentucky, and I said, "Well, no, I'd rather drive right now. Leave about 10 o'clock at night or something like that and head over down towards Cincinnati." I said, I'll actually do better. "Oh, no, won't you get tired?" I said, "If I go to bed right now and get a nice night's sleep and get up in the morning," I said, "I'll get on the road in about a half hour, 45 minutes down the road, I'm going to get real sleepy." He said, "No, not if you get some sleep." And I said, "No. If I have to drive early in the morning, I'll get sleepy." I said, "If I drive right now, I'll drive all the way to Cincinnati and not have a problem." And he didn't believe it, you know, because he was a morning person.
Yeah, early birds just don't understand really night owls.
Yeah, you brought that up about the morning. The early bird gets the worm, but what good is being a morning person do for the worm?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, early bird. Yeah,
the night worm is the one that survives. So,
right. Yeah, people have tried to reform me over the years. Well, I think I mentioned it before, but you know, this is the way I am. I mean, I've just heard a circadian rhythm. Another night owl friend gave me this long article about circadian rhythms. I don't know where it is, but it did prove that some people, something in their anatomy or their brain or something that does predispose them to be either early bird or night owl. I can't remember the details of it. Something about circadian rhythm. Being a biology major, you probably are aware of it. Did you ever study that?
We've looked at some of that stuff, and speaking of my college time, I would do most of my work, you know, studying and everything and working on projects and term papers and things, I would start in the evening and I would work through till 1-2 in the morning easily. I'd get on a roll, you know, and I'd be sitting there working. I had one of them little I think it was either a Smith Corona or a Brother typewriter. I think it was a Smith Corona. A Royal, remember the little portable typewriters that you used to have?
Oh, yes.
I'd be sitting there at my desk in the dorm room, you know, 2 in the morning, peck, peck, peck. I managed to teach myself eventually to become a two-finger typer, and then I added in my thumbs for the space bar, and eventually I got up to 4 fingers and 2 thumbs. It took the United States Air Force to train me to type properly. and I'm thankful for that. I would have remained a hunt and peck type typer had I not had to learn to type in the Air Force, and they made me learn to type, and so it's a good skill to have. But I've never been a fast typer, but I've known some people who can type pretty fast. In fact, if I remember correctly, if I'd have typed 2 words a minute faster on my typing test, I was possibly going to be stationed in Colorado at North American Air Defense Headquarters there in Cheyenne Mountain. That was a thing that they were looking at. And I was so glad that I didn't type those 2 words a minute faster. Because of that, they sent me to RAF Chicksands in the heart of the British Midlands. And so it's not that I don't like Colorado. I had some relatives that lived up on the west side of Colorado, of Cheyenne Mountain, and in Long's Peak, actually. And I had a roommate in college who lived in Colorado Springs, and right out there, his parents' dining room window was Long's Peak and Cheyenne Mountain and all that. So I've been down through that area, and I've been on the campus of the Air Force Academy, which is absolutely a gorgeous campus. And I've had occasion to be there several times, and I wouldn't have minded being there, but
the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, it's an absolutely gorgeous location because I'm familiar with the area. But that's one of the reasons why I was glad I went to England, because in England I was out in the British countryside, a little tiny town nearby, and we were just south of Bedford, England, where people have read The Pilgrim's Progress and they're familiar with John Bunyan. Pilgrim's Progress, you could travel around and see the scenes, the area and the countryside that he had in mind for scenes. For instance, the Bedford market was the scene for the inspiration for Vanity Fair. There was a ruins of a house that Henry VIII kept one of his wives in, that was the house when it was there was the inspiration for House Beautiful. And there's a big Celtic stone cross, which was the inspiration for the cross that the pilgrim stands in front of when his burden is rolled away. All kinds of things like that in the area. It was a great area I spent just over 3 years there. Absolutely loved it. I can go down to London, go up into Scotland, go over Wales and different places, and absolutely.
You mentioned all my heritage.
What's that?
You mentioned all my ancestry, or what do you call it, my background.
They're in
my
Britain.
Was 100% English, and then on my father's side, it was Scotch and Welsh and German. So you were just mentioning my background.
Same with me, Welsh, English, Scotch, Irish, you know, a lot of that is the majority of it. So it was great. I absolutely loved it. And then, of course, to be able to go down to London and tour the museums and the things in London. Speaking of which, King Charles should have mentioned this with Terry, because he's actually king of Canada as well. A lot of people don't realize that. He's their king. And he was coronated yesterday. Of course, he assumed the title when his mother died, Queen Elizabeth, but the actual coronation took place, I believe, yesterday. And of course, Joe Biden was there to cheer him on and represent the United... Oh, wait a minute. He wasn't there, was he? Let's see. Oh, they sent his wife. That's right. They sent Dr. Jill to represent... They didn't even send the vice president. They sent Dr. Jill. Yeah. Something about the current occupant of the Oval Office is not healthy enough to make that trip after he was just over in Ireland. Maybe he couldn't do it because he told the Irish that together we were going to lick the world. So, but that's a whole other area. But at any rate.
What I was going to call you about tonight was the same question I asked you Friday night, and I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I cannot remember your answer. I was saying, like we hear about easy believism and people coming to Christ because the preacher says, say this little prayer and give them assurance of salvation. But I was asking you about people that want to get during the tribulation that want to get the mark of the beast so they can buy and sell, and just due to they're definitely not going to get saved. But how do you know who determines? Couldn't there be false professions for those in the tribulation, for those that want to worship the beast? So I can't remember your answer, but I think maybe some of the listeners would be interested in your answer too.
Yeah, and that is a good question, because here in Genesis, in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about this, this is where we have the mark of the beast. But the key in understanding what's going on here in Genesis 13 is we have the false prophet. He is the second beast that comes out of the earth in verse 11, as opposed to the first beast, which comes up out of the sea in verse 1. That's the Antichrist, the false Christ. And the second one is the false prophet. And he leads people, it says, to worship the Antichrist as, to worship him as God. Let me pause for a moment over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says that the Antichrist, it describes him there as the son of perdition. It says he's going to enter into the temple and show himself that he's God, meaning he's going to declare himself to be God. And that also goes with Daniel chapter 9, the 70th week in his prophecy, which is yet to be fulfilled, where in the midst of the week, the prince of the people that come, meaning the people that come and destroy the temple, he is going to enter into the rebuilt temple, and he is going to order the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. He's going to demand that people worship him. And what we read in Revelation 13 and in verse number 12, talking about the false prophet, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So we have this key here that he wants them to worship the Antichrist. And when you tie that with the other things that I mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's clear the Antichrist is presenting himself as God, and the role of the false prophet at this point, this is the midpoint of the tribulation, 3.5 years into it, he is encouraging everyone to worship the beast as God. And if you don't, you will be put to death. And it culminates here in verse number 16, where it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him count the that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, of course, a score is 20, so 3 score is 60, so that's 666, the infamous 666. And now, in regards to your question, what about somebody making a false profession? Well, I think that very easily could happen, but there's a couple things going on here. Somebody may try to do that, but it may well be that the spiritual situation there is such that they're not able to get away with it. Because in chapter 14, it talks about those that have received the mark being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, and those that received the mark, and it links that also with worshiping the Antichrist as God. I mentioned in our Friday night Bible study that I read, I know we're running out of time here, read a guy that in the 1950s was a missionary from Cuba into Haiti. And he had a voodoo witch doctor which got saved, and he said, "We know who all the real Christians are. We can see a mark on your forehead when we're operating under the Spirit. If they're spirit, or if they're operating in the Spirit, they would know." Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening. I should say you're still listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I got myself turned around going into the break there, and for some reason I think it was midnight. And things happen as you're doing a program over a period of time. And it occurred to me, my computer, where I normally have it setting, I had sort of migrated. If you were looking at the face of a clock, I kind of migrated my computer from sitting at 11 o'clock over to 2 o'clock. And because I had migrated to 2 o'clock, that put the clock that shows me what time we are, so I can gauge where we're at in the program, considerably off to the side, where it was sort of out of my view. And I realized I haven't been looking at it like I used to. So during the break, I realized that, and I moved my computer back over to the 11 o'clock position where I used to keep it in the past sometimes. And I can see the clock over there a lot better. So hopefully we'll keep a little better tabs on the time there. So I apologize to Nancy. I thought we were going off the air there for a minute, and I kind of hurried up at the end. We were talking in the last half hour with Nancy about people during the tribulation. Will it be possible for people to pretend to worship the Antichrist in order to get the mark so that they can buy and sell? And I kind of hurried there at the end. And Nancy, you still with us there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was my getting turned around here, so I got turned around. I can see the clock a lot better. See, it's 11:35. What's that?
I thought that was a strange ending you put.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just after we talked so much about being night owls, huh? But at any rate, getting back to this, I let me back up here where we were. I was talking about how I had read a guy, he was a missionary from Haiti, or I'm sorry, from Cuba into Haiti. And this was back in the 1950s, you know, well before Castro and all that sort of stuff. And while he was there, he interacted a lot with the voodoo practitioners, in particular some of the witch doctors. And he said that one of the witch doctors that got saved said that when they were operating under the control of the spirits, and the spirits were operating through them, and of course those would be devils, fallen angels, when they were operating through these voodoo witch doctors, that they could tell who the true Christians were and who the false ones were, because he said, true Christians, you have a mark on your forehead, like a glowing white mark on your forehead. And thinking about that, during the tribulation period, at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to be indwelt by Satan himself. No doubt the false prophet will be indwelt by some powerful fallen angel as well. And perhaps many of the people who are instituting this Mark of the Beast thing will also be possessed, you know, indwelt by fallen angels. And so it may well be that they're able to tell who is sincere and who is not. That's one thing that I would consider. The other thing is, even if some do make a false profession of faith, it's going to be something they're probably going to be required to keep, you know, worshiping. Remember, the early Christians were persecuted by Rome because they refused to acknowledge Caesar as God, and really all they had to do was once a year. They didn't have to do it all the time. Just once a year, they were required to make an offering and recognize Caesar as God. And of course, a true born-again Christian could not do that. And, you know, but there are some people who did it just to go along. Remember when Muhammad was spreading Islam throughout the Middle East there, he used the sword to convince people under threat of death to follow him. And when Muhammad was killed, and in the aftermath, when he died, a great number of people that were following him basically said, we don't need to follow him anymore, he's gone. And they started to go back to what they were before. And there was a lot of war that took place during that time, trying to enforce on these people to bring them back under their control. You know, they when they were faced in the battlefield with the choice, you know, have your head chopped off or you know, follow Muhammad and acknowledge Allah as God, they said, I don't want my head chopped off. So they followed Allah. And so they were not true converts. They only did it out of convenience. They loved their life. And so I can see where some people might want to do that during the midpoint of the tribulation, especially knowing that if you don't, you might be killed. And or at the very least, you won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to buy anything to eat. You won't be able to rent some place to stay or whatever. But at the same time, because of what's going on during this point in time, it may well be that the involvement of the devil and other fallen angels, that people like that might be weeded out. So... And it also might be the delusion at the time, such that many people believe the lie and they are willing to worship him. So I would not want to take the chance, you know. But whatever the case is, one thing that's clear, you're not going to go to bed at night, wake up in the morning, and find that somebody branded you with the mark of the beast and now you're lost forever. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, you're going to have to make a conscience decision and a public act where you worship the beast as God, and then you receive the mark as evidence. And so it's going to be more than just a loyalty. It's going to be acknowledging him as God. And with the spiritual emphasis of the times, it may well be, like I said, that they would weed out people who might pretend just for convenience sake. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you. You explained it very well. I took notes this time. I didn't take notes Friday night, so now I'll know. I'll remember what you said.
Yeah, well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it really is interesting when you look at some of these things. There's information there that we can analyze it. We can try to understand. A lot of times people just read through this and they go, oh, so you don't receive the mark. Okay, let's move on. And they don't take time to see what's really going on in the passage, and that's what we endeavor to do. So thank you for calling about that. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on till midnight tonight, and our phone lines are open now. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And a couple of things I was going to mention here this evening. I don't know how much has changed on the situation, but of course we had the tragic situation. Actually, two in Texas here. We had at a mall in Allen, Texas. I think it was an outlet mall. A shooter killed a number of people there, 8 or 9 people, I think. I'm not sure what the exact number is there. But in addition to that, in Brownsville, Texas, and this is just unreal. And this proves you don't need a gun. You don't need a gun in order to do this, but a number of law enforcement emergency personnel services were on the scene. 7 people, article I was reading, 7 people dead, at least 12 others injured, many of them very seriously. A man in an SUV rammed a bus stop and shelter near a shelter for migrants in Brownsville, Texas. And let me just say, the video is not for the faint of heart. He sped into the crowd. You see people just flying as he went right down a line of people on the walk there. And they've got a suspect taken into custody there. And so do pray for these people in Texas, certainly the people there in Brownsville. Legal immigrants, it doesn't matter. These are human beings that are affected by this. And certainly, as God's children, we should pray for them and certainly the first responders that have to come into such a tragic situation as that. And then, of course, pray for those affected by the shooter at the outlet mall there in Allen, Texas. And of course, this is just two things that happen. You say, well, how do these things happen? Why are these things happening? Well, a lot of it happens because man has a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, unless it's restrained in some fashion, the sin nature is going to express itself. And certainly the devil likes to motivate people to do things like this. I don't know how either case somebody can do this without at the very least being demonically influenced in some sense, influenced by fallen angels. And, you know, the devil revels when people are hurt, injured, and killed. And one of the reasons is what I've said before, that we are created in God's image. Over in Genesis chapter 9, and I'm going to just turn over here, in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah and his family got off from the ark, God instituted capital punishment. And it's interesting to look at why he said that he did this. In Genesis chapter 9, in verse number 5, he says this, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. And that's the institution of capital punishment there. The animal that kills somebody, that animal was to be killed. And a man that kills somebody, a human being that kills other human beings, their life was to be forfeit as well. And say, why is he requiring the life of somebody? Well, here it is in verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Earlier in this hour, we were talking about being created in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, we are singled out by the devil. The devil cannot attack God directly. There's nothing that the devil can do to God. You know, We try to think of analogies like an ant trying to attack. But if you're in an area where you got fire ants, one fire ant, you notice it, don't you? It hurts. I can remember when I was in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I as missionaries there, and I was clearing some brush in this one location, and I was chopping down some things, and I suddenly felt a stinging sensation on my hand, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I looked, I didn't see anything right away, and then when I held my hand up closer, I noticed in between two fingers, you know, you got like a little flap of skin there, like a little web of skin between the two fingers. I saw an ant holding on, and he had these pincher claws on the front that would just pinch down on that little piece of skin. And man, for such a little thing, on such a little tiny spot, it really hurt. And I had to pull him off. He wasn't even that big of an ant. He just hit the right spot and all. Well, here's the thing. The devil can't even do that much damage to God. There's no way the devil can even begin to touch God. You know, you can think of another option or another analogy, I should say. If I were to say, I'm going to dry the ocean up, I'm going to drain the ocean, and I ran over to the ocean and I stuck a bucket into the ocean and I pulled it out, and said, see, I'm draining the ocean. The ocean wouldn't miss that. They wouldn't even notice it. That's not even a good analogy. And say, well, okay, I'm going to attack the universe by some insignificant thing. I'm going to hit one particle with another particle and attack the universe. Well, the universe doesn't even notice it. There's no comparison. That still doesn't even compare to the devil trying to attack God. But you know what? The devil can attack the image of God. And when he does, that affects God because God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And when the devil attacks the image of God, whether it's through murder, whether it's through abortion, which I repeat myself, whether it's through marring and maiming and deforming the bodies of somebody. He's attacking the image of God, and it hurts God because we're created in his image for his glory. And so this is why the capital punishment was instituted, because he said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And that's why the devil tries to stir up things like these mass shootings. And it's not just shootings. You take away guns, and I'm a Second Amendment guy. I'm not for taking away guns. But you take away guns, they're going to use knives, they're going to use swords. I remember reading a thing in China where you couldn't have guns. A guy went crazy with a sword and killed a bunch of people. And you take away swords, okay. Well, this guy in Brownsville, Texas, ran a whole line of people down with his vehicle and killed, about 7 people or something like that they believe, and seriously injured 12 or more others. So it's not the vehicle. It's not the knife or the sword. It's not the gun. It's the sin nature that's in the heart of man. And that's why we need a Savior. And that Savior, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who died for us to pay for our sins. He suffered and died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death. And when he did so, he made it possible for our sin nature to be dealt with. We can confess our sin, believe that Jesus Christ died in our place and paid for our sin, and that sin debt is paid for. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Jesus died to pay for our sins. If we'll accept that, then our sins are forgiven, and we'll be adopted into the family of God. We'll become his children, and our sins will be forgiven. Our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life will have a home with him for all eternity. That sin nature, though, is still in the flesh, and one day we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord, the Bible says, and this mortal will put on immortality, this corruptible will put on incorruption, and we'll receive a resurrected body, a glorified body with no sin nature. And I am looking forward to that day. I hope you are too. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, and you're looking forward that blessed hope, listening for that trumpet to sound, and to be caught up to be with the Lord and receive that glorified body with no sin nature. What a wonderful promise that is. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Mary Grace calling in tonight. Welcome to the program.
Oh, God bless you. I just love your show.
Well, thank you.
So informative, and I think we run on the same Arcadian rhythm because I can stay up till 2. And
Yeah. You know, when I first started this program, I had people who were not night owls saying, who would listen? Who's going to stay up that late?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of times night owls have to run a low profile because there's always these morning people, yeah, trying to.
But my point is, yeah. Pastor,
uh-huh.
I just love you so big.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I love Nancy, and especially that Terry and
yes.
Henry Gabriel. I love all these stories because they're marvelous. They just show us what's going on today and gives us a wider view. And that's very important to God's people. And my point is, those the accidents that they're doing, they're planned. I mean, these are terrorist attacks. When you take a vehicle and you just go at people,
oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's what the Assyrians did. You know, I mean, that's just what happens. So we have to be aware of this. But the fast starts today, and that's Isaiah 60.
Oh, yes, the 21 days of fasting for Israel, right?
It's so imperative that we do this, whether you do it for one meal, two meals, or just, you know what I mean? I'm doing my water and my supplements and things. But we do it for health, you know what I mean? A healthy way, not with, you know what I mean, sadness or anything, but with praise.
Mm-hmm.
And we fast. The glory of God.
Yeah, and hey, Mary Grace, do you remember the name of that website? I thought I had it here,
yes. Oh, definitely, I got it.
Yes,
it's, Isaiah, just totally Isaiah 602.
Isaiah 602,
and that's fast.com or .org. See, you're probably better at that stuff. I'm not the techie girl, but I'm just. Appreciate you so much.
Oh, I see why I'm having problems. As I was having problems getting it in the internet connection, I lost the internet connection here at the studio.
And it was, they said it's there. And
yeah.
It's by Ken Fish, and you could probably find it with Elijah Streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Amanda Grace. Oh, she's got some prophecies for New York, and it's 8-8. And I was like, hello.
I was going to say Isaiah 602 fast dot, it's either .com or .org. And I was just looking to see if I can get it here.
Because I do have the actual in my, that I wrote it. It's in my Bible. And I'm in the living room. I got Bibles all over. But some Bibles I write people's names.
Yeah.
I call out everybody's name, especially that Terry and all the beautiful people that call.
Yeah, I'm just I have an internet connection problems here. So I just encourage people to go to Isaiah 602 Fast and try .org or .com. See which one goes in. I think we got your radio kicking in there in the background, but yeah. But like I said, I can't get my internet connection to work here in the studio, so running out of time here. So
602fast.com.
Yeah. All right. And hopefully people will find out some more information about that. Like you said, that's starting tomorrow.
It starts today.
Well, midnight. It'll be.
But I've been doing it most all day. And by God's grace, I got to go to communion at a beautiful church. And it was marvelous, very nice to be just in a very quiet place and marvelous.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I was very happy.
Yeah, and of course we need to pray for Israel. They've been getting a lot of rocket attacks out of Gaza Strip, and of course Iran's been supplying a lot of rockets to Hamas and different things, and we have. President of Iran was just in Syria, the first time I think in about 12 years or so, and there's some concern that even with the Iron Dome system that's very effective, that they're trying to overwhelm the system. I was reading an account several days ago, a series of rockets out of the Gaza Strip came in, some of them fell in empty fields. I guess one actually made it in and hit an apartment building or something, caused some damage in where it landed. But generally speaking, when it's a few, they can knock them out. But if they overwhelm the system, no matter how good it is, they're going to cause damage. So pray for Israel. The Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So
in prayer.
Yeah, and that's something that's good for us to do. Hey, Mary Grace, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you for your call tonight and for reminding us about fasting and praying for Israel. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. God bless, and have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.